In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have a lot on my mind this Sunday. I know it's St. Patrick's Day, and I'm glad to see those people wearing green. And I also would like to tell you that St. Patrick was English. He was captured by Irish pirates who took him to Ireland and made him a slave for 6 whole years. He managed to escape, went back to England, but he had fallen in love with the Irish and decided he wanted to help them. And so he went and did his ministry there. And he's probably famous for a couple of things. One is that they said that he made sure that all the snakes in Ireland disappeared, which actually was quite easy because there were no snakes in Ireland. And the other thing that he's known for is using the shamrock, the 3 leaves of the shamrock leaf, to illustrate the Trinity. Quite frankly, I hate preaching on Trinity Sunday because I still am confused and puzzled exactly about what the Trinity is. So if you feel that way, it's okay. Clergy do too. The other thing I'm thinking about is our ministry group with Matthew and all the people who have gone down, stopping in Dallas, going down to El Paso, and then going into Juarez to build a house. The house that they're going to build is about the same size as a double garage. Very modest by our understanding, but a palace for those who have no home at all in the desert. No electricity, no running water. To have a shelter with a solid roof and electricity put in is a palace. And I'm thinking about what they're going to see when they get to El Paso, because on CNN last night, they said that a great influx of immigrants would be coming in. And I wonder how that is going to speak to their hearts before they even start the project. And then I can't help thinking about what happened in New Zealand. I have family in New Zealand and family in Australia. And I can't help thinking about those folk and grieving for them and worrying for them. And also, there's a little part of me that says, could it happen to us? Those are some fears that I have been experiencing. And in this lesson today from Luke, he's talking about fear, and he's talking about courage. And he's talking about protection, and he's talking about love. Now, why do you suppose that the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Hey, Herod's trying to get you. Get out of town, quick." The Pharisees are not exactly known to be very kindly towards Jesus. They're in fact known to test him and tease him, if you like, for having dinner with those folk he shouldn't be having dinner with, for talking to people that he shouldn't be talking to, like tax collectors and prostitutes, people like that. And so the Pharisees were always coming up to Jesus and saying, "So why are you hanging out with those folk?" I suspect that the Pharisees were also upset at the ministry that Jesus was doing, and perhaps they were telling him to get out of town so that he could not do his ministry. I don't think that they were really being that nice to Jesus. They just said it as if it was nice. And so why did people hate the prophets? They hated the prophets because they got into their bad habits of turning away to God and freely sinning and not even thinking about it anymore. We do the same. Perhaps unwittingly, we turn away from God every day. Those little sins, the little sins that are like dust, that just add up and add up and add up. And the prophets come along from time to time and give the people a good scolding. There'll be darkness, there'll be floods, there'll be fire. The buildings will topple. You will lose your land. There will be famines, say the prophets. And the people didn't want to hear it. They thought that if they didn't pay attention, then perhaps it wouldn't happen. Perhaps it wouldn't happen. And aren't we sometimes like that? We're finally getting to be more conscious of global warming, of what to do with our garbage, of how we take care of people in their health needs. We're finally picking up on that. But what the prophets had to say was not all doom and gloom. No. The prophets were essentially saying, mend your ways and get right with God, and then things will be okay. Amos, the prophet said, hear this, you who trample the needy and destroy the poor of the land and destroy the land itself. Hear this, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let justice prevail. The prophet Hosea said, hold fast to love and justice. Micah said, do justice and love kindness and walk humbly before your God. The prophet Isaiah said, Zion shall be redeemed by justice for those who repent by righteousness. In other words, mend your ways. Pay attention. Stop doing the things you've always done and turn back to God. And in this time of Lent, there couldn't be a better message. But we're all afraid, aren't we? We're all afraid of so many things, little and big. So I found a survey on the internet. I found a survey of what people are afraid of, mostly. And you might be surprised. You might think to yourself that people are mostly afraid of perhaps dying, or perhaps going in an airplane, or perhaps being afraid of snakes, of which there aren't any in Ireland, so you can go there, or afraid of bugs or insects or all kinds of things like that, or afraid of fire or floods. Guess what? Those come down at the very bottom of the list, those things. What's the top thing that all of us are afraid of? Or 3/4 of our population, nearly 75% of this population, are afraid of our government. 75% are afraid that our government, the people who lead us, are not honest, are not seeking justice, are not taking care of us. 75%. Just over 50% of us are worried about our health care. How we can pay for it, how we can get it. 50%+. The third top item that people are afraid of today is pollution of our lakes and oceans and rivers. 50%+. Number 4 on the list of what people are upset about or afraid of most are, and this is hard to believe, that more than 50% of Americans are afraid that they won't have drinking water that is safe. 50%. And the last one, number 5, I'm not going to read all 48, the last one, number 5, is not having enough money. In the forum that we had today, that we have in between services, we were talking about children who do not have enough to eat. In this very town of Milford, in one section of town, in one section of this town, there are 60 children who need supplemental food because they don't have enough in their homes. 60 kids. That's not even counting their parents or brothers and sisters. Those are the top 5. Government, healthcare, pollution, polluted water, not having enough to drink. Guess where fear of dying comes? Fear of dying comes right at the bottom of the list, along with fear of sharks, snakes, and bugs. Fear of dying comes way down. We're all afraid. We all have fears. We all have worries. And here in the gospel today, we see Jesus saying, I don't care about that old fox, Herod. I've got work to do. You go tell him. You go tell Herod that I've got stuff to do. And what is it that Jesus was doing? Jesus was feeding, healing, teaching, comforting, guiding, helping, and most of all, loving us. All at the same time that he was walking to Jerusalem, where he knew that he was going to be crucified. Walking towards Jerusalem, to the place of his death, but nevertheless was taking care. He was dealing with corrupt government officials. He was dealing with health care. He was dealing with the water. He was dealing with people and wouldn't stop. Nothing would stop Jesus. And in this gospel passage, there's wonderful imagery that I absolutely love. And I'm so pleased that Julie took up the piece that I love the best. And it was about the imagery about the hen taking care of her chickens. The imagery of God as a mother. The imagery of God as a mother. Doesn't happen very often. But here is the imagery of God as a mother hen guiding her chicks. Now, it's a well-known fact that farms and barnyards are very susceptible to fire. Think of the dry hay in the barn. Think of all the things around that can cause a fire in a barnyard, and boy, does a farmyard go up fast in flame. And it is a known fact that hens, when there's a fire, will gather their chicks, tuck them under their wings as tightly to their skin as possible, and hold onto their chicks. Dead hens have been found, burnt and charred, with their little chicks still surviving. The hens will give their life for their chicks. God gave his life for us, his beloved chicks. Remember that what we've read in the Bible, Jesus, the shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. This is the imagery that Jesus will do everything, including dying on the cross for us. But here's the trick. Jesus tells us in this particular passage that he's got work to do. That's a message for us too. We have work to do. We have work to do for justice, for peace, for the poor, for the widowed, for the hungry. It's our job to do something. We can't just sit back and do nothing. It's not just good enough to see something and say something. Christ asked us, if we see something, to do something. And every single one of us has the capacity to do something. Because the Holy Spirit has gifted each one of us with special gifts and talents. I don't know what all your gifts are. And you don't know what mine are. The saddest thing about these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us is that we fail to open them. The saddest thing that we can do with the gifts that God has given us is that we fail to open them. How can we know what our gifts are unless we open them? And what do I mean by opening them? Especially in this season of Lent, I want you to take time to think about what your gifts are. What are you passionate about? What do you do really well? What do people say about you? You're so good at fill in the blank. Do you use that gift that people say that you're so good at? The gifts of God need to be used like a precious tool that is worn and used. I'm quite sure that there are men and women in this congregation who love to cook and who have certain spoons or knives that they really treasure and they used. I'm sure that there are people in this congregation who sew or knit or crochet, who have favorite tools, a favorite old sewing machine. I was using a newer machine last week and I longed for my old machine. So I went to the place in Brantford where they fix sewing machines and I said, I really like my old machine. It's about 50 years old. I got it as a wedding present, but I really liked it better. And he said, the oldies sometimes are the goodies. I suspect there are people in this congregation who have tools for painting or carpentry or other things like that, that there are special tools that they really like. They feel good in your hands and you've used them over and over and over again. That's what I mean by the gifts of God. God has put the tools into our hands to do his ministry, but we've got to use them. I'm not saying you have to be the best cook, the best carpenter, the best needle person, the best this, the best that. What tools did God give you? What tools did the Holy Spirit give you? And how are we to walk to our own deaths having used those tools? We're all walking towards heaven. Every single one of us is walking towards heaven. And on our walk towards heaven, we are to do what Jesus did. We are to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit on our walk. And yes, the Holy Spirit will give you courage over your fears. Courage to love and serve the Lord. Amen.